Hello and welcome to episode 40 of the Behind the Curtain Ministry podcast. I am your host, Noah Filippiak, and I am here today with a very special guest, James Garden. James, how are you doing this morning?
Pretty good. How are you doing?
Well, let me ask you this. How was your morning so far?
It was good. I ate some eggs.
Good. How'd you make your eggs? How do you like them?
I just scrambled them.
Yeah, good call.
Put a little, you know, garlic, salt, and cheese on them.
Wow, now you're talking. It's fancy.
Had some coffee, so I'm good.
Yes, sir. Well, let me tell you about my morning. You asked me this when you got here, and I said, I'm going to save this. This is breaking news. So 3 a.m., my eight-month-old,
okay,
who has an ear infection, good times. She woke up, and my wife has a concert tonight. She's a music teacher.
Okay.
So I got to get up with the baby. And she didn't really go back to sleep, so I just kind of hung out with her since 3.
Oh, my gosh.
So I've been up since 3. And then check this out. So during that time, I was, you know, I'll get some work done. And more breaking news. I have a book launch coming up, which is exciting.
Yeah.
So March 9th is Friday night. Anyone's invited here in Lansing at our new church building. So big
Congrats.
News.
That's
we just
huge.
Bought a building. It is huge. And I'm on Facebook. I have about 2,000 Facebook friends.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going through my friends to invite them to this event. And by the end of it, I invited 450. So going through 2,000 names is,
yeah,
when you've been up since 3.
It's right? Hard.
So I went to click send invites. This was at about 30 minutes ago, right before you came. And Facebook says, sorry, we can't do that. Like, it's some error message, right?
Oh, wow.
And I was like, oh, this is awesome. So, dude, I'm like ready to roll, brother. So I got to do all that over again.
Oh, that's...
Yeah, and hopefully I'll catch a nap today. But that's my day so far. So we have those days, right?
Sounds action-packed.
You should do a song about that sometime for me, okay?
I hope.
All right. So first of all, tell listeners, where's the best place to find your music?
Spotify and like Apple Music work really well. I feel like... just looking at it, streaming is how people go. So just looking up James Garden, G-A-R-D-I-N, you can find all my music wherever you stream music.
What if somebody actually wants to buy your music? To be like, hey, this is a local artist, and he's putting in the time, and he's talented, and I want to support him, and I want to just listen for free. Not that we don't love people that listen for free, but certainly.
I forget that people buy music.
Right.
But if you're one of those rare people that do buy music, you can go to elect, I-L-L-E-C-T .bandcamp. And then, yeah, same thing. iTunes, if you want to buy it there. Amazon and Google Play, you can buy it there as well.
Awesome. You got any shows coming up?
I have a show.
I should have checked that before I asked.
It's all good.
No, I don't. It's awkward.
I have a show March 1st.
Yeah.
Thursday. Yeah, free show.
Where?
At the Avenue.
Nice. At the Avenue.
Yep.
What time?
9 o'clock.
I assume that's p.m.
Yes, p.m.
I'll be in bed, but
I don't think I do 9 a.m.
Maybe my wife will let me leave the house, go to bed with the kids, and I'll come. That's right down the street from my house. That's awesome. So I have a burning question. Why can't I buy Prince Akeem on iTunes?
Oh,
I'm super upset about that.
Because I haven't put it on iTunes
We'll do that today.
Okay, all right? I
will. I need to add that to my workout playlist, baby. You're going to see me like 30 pounds more jacked. I'm like, what happened? I just put Prince Akeem
on loop.
On loop during my workout.
That is hilarious.
All right. So you've been doing music for a long time now, hip hop music. When and why did you start recording?
I started in high school, and I think I started writing secretly. Like, I wasn't telling anyone I was writing.
Yeah.
And once people started saying it was good, I think that was like the only little bit of encouragement I needed. And I think I also started, so originally I went under the name Filthy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think while I did that, it kind of allowed me to like create a persona that was more confident than James was.
Mm.
As James started to catch up with Filthy's confidence.
Hmm. So I think there's some parallels between writing, which is what I'm doing right now. I just put out that book and with writing music, in that I've wrestled with a lot of insecurity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think most people do, right? You put yourself out there And we also live in like a hater culture, right? So people are very critical.
Yeah.
And frankly, the way I say it is, I don't really even know if my stuff is any good, because obviously I think it is, and it might just be awful because we've, no offense if this is you, and it could be me still. I know it's not you because I like your music.
It might be me too.
But no offense if this is you, the listener. It could still be me. I don't know. Someone that makes the GarageBand record and it's terrible and their mom likes it, and that's pretty much it, right?
Yeah.
So what was that like for you as you started out recording? And I don't, when did you start doing shows as well at the same time? And just how did you get to a point? How did you overcome some of those insecurities?
So I think I still question if my stuff is actually good.
Right.
Like to this day. But I think it's, I think now like I'm learning more. It's not like, is it good? I try to not do it, is it good compared to other stuff? I try to do, is it good as in, is it my best?
Mm-hmm.
So I'll look at something and be like, I probably could have did that better. And that's what I would guess, that's what's helped me like be less insecure, because it's more of like, am I living up to the level that I can live up to?
Mm-hmm.
Performing, so high school, I did my first show. On stage, I forgot the words. it was the worst. Like, literally, like, for some reason, we thought it was a good idea to write a song the night before the show.
Okay.
And that we would remember the words. Hop on stage, I get like three or four lines in, and I just stop. And then one of my friends tries to finish the verse to help me like catch back, and I look at him like, nope, we're gone, guys. The ship has sailed. And I remember my friend taped it, and every time I come to his house, he was watching it and just cracking up. Luckily, I think he good taped friend. Over that segment, right, so good. Now that's dead forever. After that, though, I think that's what made me want to learn how to freestyle better.
Okay.
Because I was like, if ever I forget the words, I'm not going to stop rapping.
Okay.
Yeah. So I haven't had a moment like that since. I learned. But, I mean, I think it was definitely a process of getting more comfortable with myself, which kind of helped me transition into just going under my real name. I think having people around me that encouraged me and also challenged me to be better. Because I think it's one thing if you tell someone they're horrible, instead of like, I know you can do better, that's not your best. Like, I feel like that critique opens it up to growth, as opposed to like, that's as good as you'll ever be. You should probably quit right now.
Yeah. Speaking of forgetting things, the beats that listeners heard at the beginning of this episode that just ended a few minutes ago are James Garden's beats, and they are the new theme music of the Behind the Curtain Ministry podcast.
So awesome.
Thank you for that. And you'll hear those at the beginning and at the end of each episode from here on out. Maybe I'll have to throw Prince Akeem in.
Hey.
I might have to pay royalties for that, though. I'm not sure.
You don't have to. You'll be good. The label doesn't own that.
So that's a question that I have is... a lot of times on this podcast, as an author, I interview a lot of other authors, and I'm just pretty transparent about my own journey, where in the writing world, I got an agent, I think, I lose track of time now, it's been so long, this whole process for me, I think it was 3 years ago, and I thought agent equaled, I'm going to get signed by this big, you know, book publisher,
right.
And in the music world, independent recording became a thing much earlier than it has in the writing world.
Right.
And I don't know much of the history of that, and I think you would know a lot more of that. And so I'm wondering, can you educate me and listeners, is there it's probably different for every artist, for every musician, but is there a part of you as a musician, maybe when you were starting out or to this day, well, first tell us, what is your status with a label and those sorts of things?
Yeah.
And do you feel like you have to woo labels? Is there a part of you that has to like sell yourself? And you like, there's musicians I've heard that talk about they're trying to impress a label rather than just being able to put out the art that they want to put out. And have you had to wrestle with that at all?
So I think earlier in my career, I probably was like, I want to get on a label. I need to make music that like a label will want to get to me. The industry has definitely changed with streaming and making everything sort of direct to consumer.
Yeah.
So right now I am signed to an independent label, Elect Recordings. But for me, it's more of a partnership. So I was able to build my own audience, create my own sound, and they wanted to partner with that. And I think working with them is able to open up doors that I wouldn't be able to open myself. But it's not a situation where I have to conform to what they want to do. Because honestly, at this point, a lot of labels don't know what they're doing.
Okay.
Like, at all. Because the industry just keeps changing. So yeah. They're like, we need to sell more albums. And then it's like, you look at the numbers and it's like over 80% of probably most label sales are streaming as compared to actual downloadable sales.
Mm-hmm.
People who are still trying to do CDs, Best Buy is getting rid of their CDs, you know? So it's like,
I heard that
when people are like, I'm going to sell these CDs. Like, I've talked to artists in Lansing who will argue with me and be like, no, some people still want the CD. I'm going to sell CDs first. Forget the streaming and downloading. Uh-huh. And I'm like, I don't know why you're trying to like, go on a plank of wood against a tsunami. Like,
right, you need to,
like, the wave is coming at you. Yeah. Like, quit trying to go against it.
Yeah.
So I think it's changed a lot where artists have a lot more power on what they create. And labels are going to want to partner with you. And for me, it only makes sense to sign with a label if it's really going to enhance what you're doing and able to give you more opportunities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, things are changing rapidly. Best Buy is not selling CDs. I mean, in 5-10 years, I don't think Best Buy is going to be open.
Right.
Right. I mean, Circuit City's not open anymore.
Exactly.
A lot of bookstores are going out of business. In my world, you know, Family Christian Stores went out of business. And so, which is a huge seller of like Christian books and that sort of thing. And it is, I was curious because with authors, every single author that I know, including myself, there's this complex that we have where when you go, you want to write a book, and granted, your book might be garbage. It might be good too. Right. Right? And what's frustrating is up until very recently when independent publishing has become more respectable and just easier to do, frankly, and easier to put out a good product, the only way to get your stuff out there was through one of the big publishers.
Right.
And what I became very frustrated with is they didn't really care, it seemed, about my content. What they cared about was how popular I was as an individual, as a personality. And that gets really confusing as a pastor. Not even confusing, but I think it walks a fine line of just sin in and of itself as far as my job as a pastor is not to be popular. It's to make Jesus popular. And I think that is a bit different, I think, than a musician as far as platform goes. But I tell you, man, all these authors are out there busting their butts. And I was doing it for years on Twitter and Facebook, trying to get people to like them. And I blog and I like blogging, but I was blogging and doing this podcast actually furiously to try to impress a publisher. Man, I just got worn out. I got worn out of trying to impress people. And I ended up publishing independently sort of by default because I didn't want to wait years and years and years of chasing publishers even longer. But I was curious how that played out in the music industry. It sounds like you've been able to dodge that for the most part.
I mean, I think that is part of it too, though, right? Like, I think in music, it's branding as well. So it's creating a brand alongside of the music. Like, I've talked to people, and this feels like a very, like, it could be a disheartening, like, thing to think. But I feel like the music is almost secondary to the brand, right? So it's almost like, I was telling someone that, like, there's so much talent. Like, there's a lot of really good musicians and artists out there to the point that me being good isn't it doesn't help me compete. It's not a factor that actually, like, gives me an edge. So, honestly, me being a likable person or me doing something else that people can be engaged with and relate to is what will be the selling point. I was telling someone, it might be to the point that people start coming to my shows and be like, oh yeah, he's really good, but he's just like a really nice guy and I like to hang out with him.
Yeah.
And that's the factor that will actually make them push to sell money, as opposed to like, there's 100 really good artists and you're almost like overloaded by it.
Right.
You're like, I don't know who to choose. So I think that still is a battle. Like, but I think for music, it's at the point of not really impressing the labels, but engaging the audience and kind of hacking attention. So it's like, how can I get your attention and make sure that every day you're coming to my Instagram feed? And it may not be music I'm posting. Like, I tried something out new today where, like, doing the whole, like, trying to do 3 pictures that have, like, the same sort of color theme so that my feed looks pretty. But then also, like, instead of just a regular caption, I think what I did is one picture was like a prayer, another one's like affirmations, and the third one's like a creative tip.
Yeah.
And like trying to do something where like I'm giving them something totally different that they can engage to outside of the music. So then when the music drops, they're like, oh yeah, I'm going to check out the music because I'm already engaged in this. So I think it's the same in the music world as well.
What's your Instagram handle?
James Garden Music.
Is there other social media that you use regularly?
I'm on the Twitter, the Facebook.
Me too.
And
I'm not cool enough for Instagram, but Twitter and Facebook are kind of like,
I think you're cool enough
like
for
me.
Instagram. I think you can make
James.
It work.
Thank you. I'll ride your coattails somehow. Same handle, James Garden Music.
Twitter, it's James Garden. Everything else is James Garden Music. I probably should change Twitter to James Garden Music.
Come on, get on that.
For continuity.
Well, I'll link to all these in the show notes. And
that actually makes, I'm about to do that.
Atacrossroads.net is the main place. I will post this with all the show notes for listeners. So Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, James Garden Music. Awesome. So over the years, you've been doing this since high school, and I've even noticed a shift from when I started listening to you until now, a shift in your message a little bit. And I'm wondering if that's something you've noticed and if it's been intentional. And if someone were to ask you, what is the message of your music, what would you say?
And it's funny, someone just asked me this, so I'm trying to remember what I said. I mean, honestly, like at the core, like my goal is definitely like to encourage people to use their gifts to make the world better, and maybe even revealing that they do have gifts.
Mm-hmm.
And then hopefully like in that as well, showing that like the source of that gifts, those gifts are, is Christ. And like they get that in that.
Yeah.
But I'm also like, I feel like I'm almost like, I don't think overt is the word, but I'm not overt, right? Like I like the idea of like making the message feel like a parable where like you have to really think about what the message is, as opposed to like just straightforward. Like I think in a lot of CHH, and this is no shade, but I feel like some people literally rap or sing scripture.
Right.
Right. And I think that's dope. I think that's needed. Me, I may do a song where like I'm not necessarily rapping scripture, but then we can have a conversation after. And I like that face to face time.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think like my message is really just about like trying to encourage people to share their gifts, because I feel like we can shift a lot of things that are going on with the world if we actually actively live in our purpose.
Recently, following you online, I saw you had a song get picked up by ESPN.
Yeah.
What song was that?
It was Complaining.
Complaining. And what was that process like? That had to be pretty exciting, obviously.
That was like one of the benefits of being with the label. So the label, when we were planning to drop it as a single, they sent it over to ESPN. ESPN was like, oh, we like this, send us the MP3.
Okay.
And then they hit us back and they're like, all right, we need you to give us this information, fill out this paperwork. This isn't us saying we're gonna do it, but if we do it, it'll be in December. And then like a couple months later, they're like, all right, we need this information too. This still isn't us saying we're gonna do it, wait till December. Yeah. And then literally in December, a friend on Twitter tweeted, I just heard James Garden ESPN. So like I found out through a tweet. I was like, oh, that's crazy. So then I went and like watched it, saw it. It's been dope. Like it's definitely like definitely something on the bucket list to like get a song like on national television.
Right, right.
That's been really cool.
With that, are there next steps to that? I mean, does that sort of exposure help open up other doors, or is it just kind of like, wow, that was a big break and maybe that'll happen again, but is it random?
I think definitely like in the future, if I send other stuff, they'll probably be more receptive to checking it out, because I have had something they liked. It wasn't really, I don't think it was like a really huge break. I think it's definitely something that when trying to get other opportunities, that's something we can throw on the resume.
Yeah.
Like we've had a song on ESPN and that might help us open more doors a little easier.
Yeah.
And
you'll put on there that you were on the Behind the Curtain ministry podcast.
Exactly. I'm
well.
Throwing that on there as
put
well.
Put it on there first.
Okay.
Put ESPN second.
I will do that.
Cool. And they'll be like, whoa. No way.
But yeah, I mean, I think it's something where I don't see like the benefit of what it can get yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I think down the line it'll help out with stuff.
So we hit on this a little bit at the beginning, but what have you had to push through to get to where you are today? What I mean by to get to where you are today is just to keep going, right? There's so many times as an artist, you just want to quit because nobody showed up to your show, or yeah, somebody said your music stinks, or you're just tired of chasing, you know, whether it was a label or whatever. I mean, you've pushed through a lot. You've been doing this for a long time. And I think those are things people in life relate to, right? Yeah. So what to keep going and to keep pushing, how have you been able to do that in a healthy way?
I think I'm crazy. I think to be able to push, for lack of a better term, there has to be a certain amount of like obsession over it.
Yeah.
So I think that's helped me push. I think also as I've grown more into it, and like, cause when I first started rapping, I wasn't, my message wasn't the best message. I probably would never play those songs in front of people. I don't think there are any copies of it. And if there are, I'll destroy them if you put them in my hand.
Right.
But I think later on down the line, like once my why started to change, right? Mm-hmm. So when the why is no longer fame, when the why is no longer to just have hit records and to sell out tours and things like that, it's a lot easier to keep going on. And I think I'm at a point now, too, that I feel like I'm learning more and more what my true purpose is. And I know music is a vehicle for it, but it may not be the only vehicle.
Yeah.
So right now, I mean, I think, one, I'll probably create music forever just because I love to create it. But I know that, like, in 20 years, it may not be the way God uses me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm becoming okay with that.
Sure.
Like, and it's kind of hard, but, like, I'm growing to be okay with that. And with that, it's like, If I realize that it's not really about me, then quitting isn't something that I can decide to do or not do.
That's good. That ties in with that rejection piece, because that's something, as I write, I've had to deal with the rejection of publishers. I try to send in a lot of articles to like different Christian magazines or get on larger blogs, and I've had very little success with that. And it's hard. Like, it's hard every time when I would think, this is the one, right? And then you get rejected, and you get rejected, you get rejected. I think in life, people face rejection every day.
Yeah.
People are looking for love. And one thing God's helped me with is to see some of that validation I'm seeking. It's not healthy. It's validation I already have in Christ, and I'm seeking it. And it's a huge part of my sanctification, because it's almost like every time I get rejected, it's just a chance for me to go back before the Lord and say, all right, thank you for the reminder that you already validate me.
Yeah.
I don't need this magazine or this publisher, you know, to validate me. Now that my book's out, I'm looking at the sales, right?
Right.
How many? Does it compare to so-and-so? I want to beat so-and-so.
Right.
God's like, I thank God. 6 years since I wrote my manuscript, I mean, I thank God that I didn't have big success early, and I haven't had big success, because I don't think that I could handle it. I think it would have caused me to sin in my pride and ego, and I think I would have thought I was pretty sweet. And so in a way, I'm thanking God for the rejection I've had to go through, even though I still don't like it. I still hate it.
I mean, I don't think anyone enjoys it at all.
Speaking of rejection, this podcast that I do, right, I always am like, I love it, I love doing it, and I feel so much freer now to do it than when I was doing it for a publisher, right? Mm. And it's funny because, and I haven't ever shared this on the podcast before, but if you go to my my Podbean page and you look at all my middle episodes, you see listens in the thousands.
Okay.
One of them I think is even like 10,000, okay? And I think my overall listens for the whole like 40 episodes is like 130,000, something like that. Okay, so here's what happened. This is a funny story. I've never shared this. I mean, I've shared it privately with people. This was like 2 years ago, and I'm in the middle of trying to get a publisher, right? I got my agent. I'm getting no's all the time. And I look at my stats, and they went from, I forget what I was getting per episode, maybe 100 listens an episode, and it jumped to like 2,000, like in one day. And I was like, oh my gosh, like it finally happened, right?
Yeah.
I thought some big something just picked this up and linked to it, right?
Right.
And every podcast I would post from then on out was just like every day was getting, I think within a week span, I had like 9,000 listens.
That's
like,
crazy.
Right? All right. So eventually I'm like, part of me is thinking, like, this doesn't make any sense. And I'm looking, and so long story short, on my blog, I put these little widgets on the sidebar of the episode. So I'll put this one up, and
yeah,
it'll have your face and a play button. Well, there was some glitch inside Podbean. Now, remember, I'm on, like, cloud nine right now.
Yeah, yeah.
I think, like, I just made it, right? And there's this glitch I find out because I look into Podbean, and I look at, like, you can see the I forget the name of it, but it's the website, the numbers on a website. I forget what they're called, but you can see who's downloading your podcast,
right?
And when they do it. And mine were getting downloaded in chunks of four that were identical. And it was like basically every time somebody went to my blog, which was like, you know, I mean, my blog's doing okay, but
yeah,
maybe a couple hundred a day or something. Every time somebody went to my blog, I would get four downloads on my podcast, just in the system, not real, right? And so I email Podbean about it, and they're like, no, everything's fine on our end, right? And I'm like, what the heck? So my podcast just like explodes in numbers, and now it doesn't do that anymore. And I see the numbers again,
yeah,
and it's like, you know, 50, 100.
Yeah.
And it's funny because that's all that was listening to it before, but I feel like with rejection, right? I feel like, man, I felt better about myself when you could see 10,000 next to my name, even though it wasn't even real.
That is, yeah.
They weren't even real people.
That's hilarious.
Right? So I bring all that up to as a very long segue that I'm going to keep doing this podcast, and I really do enjoy it. I am tinkering with maybe ways of changing it. I've been looking for podcasts actually to send my book to. A friend of mine, there's a nice podcast I like listening to called Clinch that an author friend of mine who's also a pastor, his name's Zach Bartels, does. He interviewed me and talked about my book and stuff like that. And so I've been listening to different podcasts that I want to maybe send my book to. And I'll be honest with you, I am disappointed in the quality of the podcast that I found out there. Christian podcast, and I'm so if listeners have any feedback for me, maybe on things you'd like to hear in a podcast, I'm in a point where I really enjoy it. I'm wondering if maybe I'll tinker with it. There's theology podcasts that have really bad theology when I listen to them.
Wow.
There's pastor podcasts. And I wrestle with, like, I'm kind of sarcastic and funny by nature, but I've had to, like, tone that part of me down because I've found that it doesn't always glorify Christ.
Okay.
And I found certain pastor podcasts where they're so sarcastic that I think it's kind of disrespectful in a way to the topics they're talking about. And for me, I have to turn those off. Some people get into that. But I know you're thinking about doing a podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
So the rumor on the street is, right?
I have been thinking about it,
so yet. Tell us about that. Like, what are you thinking about doing?
And see, I guess my issue is I don't know what I want to do, right? And, like, I think I'm just overthinking it. So I'm like, I don't know if it'll just be something where, like, I talk about being a creative or even just being a creative that's a Christian and how you navigate that. I don't know if I want to do interviews. I don't know how long I want it to be. I have an idea for a name, and that's about it.
You going to share that?
Maybe this will force me to do it. So the idea is, like, randomly I was trying to write planning and plotting or plotting and planning. And I was like, how come there hasn't been a Christian that says plotting and planting? Kind of use that play of words. Okay. So that's what I've been thinking about. But
good.
And then my last name is Garden. It's spelled different. But
right.
Like planting and
I like that.
It all
I like
works.
That.
But yeah, I don't know. I just need to do it. That's probably all it is.
That's what's cool about podcasts is you can just do it. Nobody out there knows that. I just tell people, like, so I can pretend like we're in some fancy studio somewhere,
right?
But we're not. We're at my dining room table. My cat's walking around on us. You know, that's just what we're doing. But it is fun, and this is cool. A guy who's listening now, I'm sure, he is a guy that's been following my blog for a long time and struggles with sexual purity stuff and is really excited about getting my book. And he was talking to me recently and said he basically puts my podcast, this is crazy, it's in a cool way, he puts my podcast on loop when he's struggling, like,
oh, wow,
with looking at pornography.
Yeah.
Like, he travels a lot for his job, and he's like, yeah, I turn off the TV at the hotel, and I just turn your podcast on. And I was like, man, like, I get discouraged sometimes because on certain episodes, there's 50 listeners or 70 listeners, And one of them is him.
Yeah.
Maybe he's all 50, right? If he's not on
hey,
loop,
listen.
Right? But I think that's the thing for me as a pastor that God has really humbled me in, where I've gotten caught up in this Christian subculture that numbers, it's all about your numbers. And a lot of these podcasts that have numbers, I think, man, the substance just could be better, right?
Right.
It could be better. And it's not that the substance of this podcast is incredible, but I hope that it is substantial. I hope that it has substance to it. And to know that this guy, it's actually helping him, like, stay committed to his wife and
that's good.
Helping him in his purity. I was like, man, I could never stop doing this. Like,
yeah, yeah.
That was, and so that's been really helpful for me. But I'd encourage you to start it and to do it.
I should.
And it's funny because, like, two episodes ago, I did a bonus episode where when my book came out, and I just talked about my book. I didn't have a guest.
Yeah.
So it's the first time I've ever done that. It was just me.
That's interesting.
The microphone.
Yeah.
And then I went. I went like 40 minutes, man.
That is great.
So that was, and it worked. I was like, man, I could do this, right? I don't know. So we'll see. But maybe we got to team up.
Maybe that'll push me to actually do it.
Very good. All right. Well, there's one last thing that I want to ask you before we adjourn here. So my favorite thing about your shows is when you bring people on stage.
Yeah.
Okay, at the end. I'm always too shy. Like, I don't want to raise my hand. I really don't have any desire to come on stage. But it's super cool what you do, okay? And you talk about freestyling, and you are really good at freestyling. And what I want you to do for me and for listeners is to... I'm putting you totally on the spot.
Oh,
right,
Lord.
Now.
Why are you doing this?
Is to freestyle on the podcast with me. I want you to ask me those questions like, what's your favorite hobby? What's your favorite animal? And so what we can do is I can edit this part out. We can add some beats in if that's needed. I have no idea. I'm an author. You don't want to hear me rap.
It
right?
usually is easier with a beat.
Okay.
That helps out.
All right. So I have a bunch of your beats, right? That you gave me. So it's super convenient. Can I use one of those?
Sure.
All right. I tell you what, you guys, for James to do this for us today, you got to go out and buy something of his. Okay. Don't just stream. Artists get like a penny of that. Don't act like you're actually supporting them. And when you watch their commercials on YouTube, go to either iTunes or Elect Records. Is that right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Elect Recording. Records. Recording.
Recording.
E-L-L-E-C-T.
I-L-L-E-C-T.
Say it again.
I-L-L-E-C-T.
I heard the E last time and I was like, oh, they switched the spelling up on me. All right. I-L-L-E-C-T. Okay. Yeah. All right. So let's just pretend. Let's all close our eyes. Let's pretend like we're at Max Bar right now.
Okay. Sorry.
I'm going to have to put this on a loop. Okay. Hang on. Let me get it on a loop here. So it's only a minute and 51 seconds. I don't know how long this will take. All right, so we're at Max Bar. The smell of like cheap PBR is poured out on the floor. There's a popcorn machine in the corner, and it's been sitting. The same popcorn's been sitting there for a couple of weeks now.
Yeah.
But the you've just gotten back from the bathroom. You are reading all the stickers all over the urinal, and you see it's your favorite part of the show. James has just said, who in the crowd wants to come up on stage? And this guy named Noah comes up on stage, and he's ready.
So, Noah, where are you from?
Oconomowoc.
Oh, my. Oconomowoc? What's a hobby of yours?
Squid farming.
What's your favorite animal?
Jellyfish.
Oh my gosh. So we have Noah from Oconomowoc who likes to go squid farming and he likes jellyfish.
That's right.
I don't know how this is gonna work. Yo, you know how the flow come and do what I do. Move through with that crew. Move through, I'm so smooth. Move when that I do. Never gonna work. Chillin', I roll and I work. Yeah, when I just roll in the church. Noah, he running the church. Y'all know I be killing it every time I kill a line and I rip that flow. People know I do this and I spit that and it's easy like tic-tac-toe. I get the tarmin. This stuff's alarming. This kid is harming. Let's go squid farming. That's a really real word. That's a really weird word. Don't know what to do. Come through and I just give you some food for thought. Come through with a heavy fish. Come through with a heavy dish. Over there are my hands up in the air like I'm a jellyfish. And you know how I spit that. Know how I get that. Know how I get back. Know where I live at. Know where I live at. You know where I live at, and I do my thing, and I come through when I talk the talk. I don't know how to pronounce it. Maybe it was Owak. I don't know what the place was.
Oconomowoc.
Is that a real place?
I was born in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin.
Wait, that's a real place?
Yes.
I thought you made that up.
No, it's a suburb of Milwaukee.
Oconomowoc.
I was totally born there.
Oconomowoc. Sounds like a really nice place.
It is. That was awesome. Please give James Garden a hand from wherever you are. That was incredible. I kind of grew up in Troy, Ohio.
Okay.
But I totally had to go with Oconomowoc from where I'm from.
How do you like...
It's all O's.
How do you rep your set? Like
the only vowel in that word are O's.
That's crazy. Oconomowoc. That is crazy. There's like five O's.
It's a lot of O's,
That's too much.
It's a lot of O's. Yeah, I moved away when I was four.
Okay.
But I thought I'd be...
Where were you born?
What? I was born there.
Oh.
Yeah.
You moved from there.
I was born in Oconomowoc. My parents grew up in Milwaukee, so that was awesome.
Oconomowoc.
You got to have that in your back pocket for freestyling next time. You never know when you're going to meet someone who's from
Oconomowoc. And I'm like, I knew this day would come. Hold on. Let me look through my phone. I have like 10 words in here. I'm ready. Oconomowoc. I'm like, Noah just made that word up.
That is so awesome.
Like, is that a Jedi? Like,
sounds like a Wookiee or something.
No, yeah. I'm like, wait. Yes. That's from Star Wars. You can't trick me. I know this.
Oh, that's awesome. James, this has been awesome. Do you want to leave listeners with a final thought?
I don't drink a lot of water. no, honestly, and I probably should take this advice too. Like, just create without critiquing. I honestly believe that you're not going to put out anything whack enough to ruin your career unless it's like super offensive. But like, if you can get that idea out of your head that like it's going to be so horrible that no one will ever listen to you, you know, then you should just put stuff out.
That's awesome. And I would add to that from the writing side of it, similar to what I said before, if it impacts or helps one or two people,
that's enough. That is.
That's great. You don't have to sell out, you know, arenas or have a bestseller. Helping one person, that's kind of what Jesus was all about.
Right.
He said it's a seed, and he had so many of these just one-on-one, you know, conversations with people. So that's awesome. James Garden, thank you so much for being on episode 40 of the Behind the Curtain Ministry podcast. That'll wrap us up. You can find all the show notes at acrossroads.net, where you can connect with James on social media and find links to his music, where you can buy his music, or if you really want to, you can also listen to it for free. I will see you next time at A Crossroads and Behind the Curtain. Take us out, James Garden's Beats.
Peace.